So turn with me to the first chapter of Acts. As you can see, there are no notes. We're just going to go through again. It's to be a survey. But as I began praying and reading through this, the Lord kept saying to me, and I just dismissed it because I, at the very first, because of, oh, that's what I always do, Lord. I've read and I think of things, and I had a seminary professor. He's an evangelist, a professor, a pastor. He travels still, I think, to somewhere in Europe and teaches, although he's probably somewhat semi-retired now, lives in West Texas. But he wrote a little book. I don't know if it's part of his seminary studies, his doctorate dissertation or what, but Dr. Pendleton wrote a little book called Acts, to be continued. And he told me, he told us in class, but he, when I would jog with him, because we would jog in the mornings when I was at first year of seminary, and jogged with him, and he told me, he says, man, I just blew it with that book, because I had read it. It's just a nice little book. And I got what his message was. It's to be continued through us. But he said, nobody got it. He didn't. He said, I didn't make any money from this. You know, it's on the bookstore shelf in Texarkana, but no, it didn't sell. People kept asking him, well, when are you going to finish it? It's going to be continued. So he said that, you know, I said, but Dr. Joe, that wasn't the point of the book. That's not the point of the title. And it's not. This book has been called and described throughout history as the actions or activities of the apostles. The book could be titled The Acts of the Holy Spirit. But I think the book is a combination of the two. But again, it's not what I think. It's what God says. But I think we'll see in these passages, the book of Acts is a continuation. Dr. Luke continued his historical account of the life and teachings of Jesus. He wrote what we call the book of Luke. The historians of antiquity and the church fathers, they said it was combined. Luke, Acts, two volumes. And then we, through the ages, separate those. We have the layout that we have, the Gospels, and then the book of Acts. But Luke continues, and he begins Acts with a summary of the book of Luke. And he picks up where he left off, with instructions from Jesus Christ before he ascended into heaven. He told the apostles, the disciples that were there, go and wait for the Holy Spirit. So it is a continuation from that standpoint. And although the book of Acts may be divided into two parts, centered on the activities of Peter and Paul, there are other disciples also continuing the ministry of Jesus. So we're going to examine this morning a few of these individuals and be encouraged by their example, to continue being witnesses for Jesus. That's our challenge. That's His word for us. And we'll see that at the end, because that's where Luke ends it. To be continued through us. So in chapter 1, you can see Luke tells us in chapter 1 that after the ascension of Christ, the 11 remaining apostles, along with at least 120 other disciples, met in the upper room for prayer while waiting for the Holy Spirit. I look for some different commentaries about that. Were there 120 or more? There were 500 that seen him. There were many disciples, you know. Remember, there's the 70 that sent out, not just the 12. Two by two, they were sent out. The multitude was there. So we see that there were counted about 120. And one commentary said it was 120 men. Plus the women who had fought. Others said, no, they were all included. And they tried to come up with theories and formulas to come up to 120. But again, that's man's thinking. This is God speaking through Luke, using the Holy Spirit to tell us. They were gathered, and at least 120 of them were there. So we can see that. And what was amazing, we'll see, is that even now his brothers and his mother are there, and he had appeared to one of his brothers, and they have come to now worship and serve him too. So they are there. So look in verses 1, chapter 1, 21 to 26. We'll begin there. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they proposed to Joseph, called Barabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So we see them gathered. They went there. They were there to be praying and waiting. And while they were there, they had a business meeting. They conducted it. They prayed and said, we need to select someone to serve with us. That will be complete 12 again. Why? We don't know. They just did. The Lord guided them to do this, and they did that. So in Mark chapter 3, Mark tells us when Jesus selected the 12 from among those he called to the mountaintop. And you can check me out on that in chapter 3 of Mark. He called the believers up to the mountaintop, followers, people that were following him, and then he selected the 12. and called them apostles. And then also then Paul tells us that the apostles were the first gift to the church in 1 Corinthians 12:28 and Ephesians 4:11. So they're a gift to the church. So they were there. They were meeting. And they selected, they prayed first. And then they selected Matthias, taking that to be God's will for them. So they prayed and appointed an apostle to replace Judas. Then we come to chapter 2 through 5. They tell us of the 12 apostles witnessing and many believing in Jesus with the church growing. Now I'm just highlighting some of these chapters that you can begin to read. This was the idea that you begin to look to the scripture. A survey. So it's not a verse by verse expository. It's just highlighting and hoping and praying that all of us will get excited about what they were doing. And that we can pray and seek God's will for our life. And so you'll see these different witnesses. So chapters 2 through 5. There, it's the 12 now. And others witnessing and many believing in Jesus, and the church was growing. You see them in the court, temple courtyard. You see them going house to house. You know. And in chapter 2, what happens? Peter raises up. They're there. They receive the Holy Spirit. They followed Jesus' commanded, waited for the Holy Spirit. He empowers them. He stands up and boldly preaches and says, hey, to the crowd, the multitude that's hearing in their own language, coming from all over the Roman Empire to Jerusalem, they're hearing in their own language the gospel of Christ. And he begins to preach and he teaches, tells them. And they say, what must we do? And they say, believe in the Lord. And they repent. And then they were baptized. And then there was 3,000 added to the 120. So we see that in chapter 2. And then they continued meeting daily. They continued in the word and praying and serving one another and sharing the good news of Christ. And many more thousands came. And Luke tells you about those in those chapters, 2 through 5. So it's a growing church. Many things were happening. And then you come to the chapter 6 and 7. Is the account of Stephen, who stood boldly proclaiming the truth that Jesus is the Christ. Again, remember, what's the commission? He told them to Jerusalem, to Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the world. So they're in Jerusalem. They're doing this. And many people were coming to Christ. Many Greeks were coming to Christ. Many people, Greek-speaking Jews were coming to Christ, those who were there. And so then what do you see happening? The apostles are busy. We can't do both. We can't feed them. We can't do this. We can't, you know, we need help. And what does the Lord instruct him to do? Pick out 7 men, godly men, to serve. And Stephen is one of those first deacons. So we see then that when he stood up, he's a man filled with the Holy Spirit. So chapter 6 and 7. So he speaks the truth about Christ. And, you know, there's the account there. There's a young man, a young rabbi, Saul of Tarsus, is holding coats and encourage them. Oh, we're going to hear more about that guy. Okay, then now we come to chapter 8. Luke records that church members then were scattered because of persecution that's coming. Well, isn't that what Jesus told them? You're going to be persecuted for proclaiming me. But the persecution begins. The disbursement begins. And they went everywhere. Church members were scattered in Luke chapter 8, 1. Let's turn there and read that. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. But the church was scattered then. They're going everywhere. So then we see they're preaching the word as they go. Also in chapter 8, we find another one of the original seven deacons by the name of Philip, preaching and witnessing for Jesus. So now you see this, and you have the great account that he's there, and Philip preached, and many believed concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Both men and women were baptized. Lots of things happening. And then the apostles came, Peter and John went down there. They began preaching too and stayed with them. So when in verse 25 of chapter 8, so when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So now they're in Samaria. And then we see Philip. He's having that great revival there. But what do we see in verse 26? Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And then we know he meets the Ethiopian official and he teaches him about Jesus from the scripture in Isaiah that the Ethiopian was reading. So again, another faithful man. When the church was scattered and witnessing and preaching for Jesus. So now turn to chapter 9. And we see that tells us about followers of the way. Oh, who are they? Another name of the scattered church. Luke in this chapter describes the conversion of Saul of Tarsus and introduces another faithful disciple. Okay, so then, chapter 9, verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus. So that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now they are hearing, these Jesus followers, they're now proclaiming that he's risen from the dead in Samaria, in Damascus. We got to go get him. Let me take some men in chains. Give me some orders. Give me some written orders. I'll go and get them. And of course, we know what happens. He meets Jesus along the road. But the focus on this one is a faithful disciple who was among those scattered and was there in Damascus. And his name is Ananias in verse 10. So now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, laying his hands on him, and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. When I preached something similar in the past about Ananias, I thought, wow, what if Ananias would have said, continued and said, No, I'm not going. God have a backup plan? Does he have another disciple named Ananias? Because he told Saul, a man named Ananias is coming. We don't know. He objected. He's trembling. He's afraid. He says, Lord, this is the guy that's putting all your people in jail and killing them and different things. And even here in Damascus, he didn't say, Oh, I hear he has letters of authority. He said, No, here, H-E-R-E, here in Damascus, he has the authority from the priests in the synagogue to arrest us. But the Lord said, That's okay. You just go. Ananias was obedient. That's what he calls us to be. Obedient. Following him. No matter the cost. Ananias was afraid for his life. But he obeyed. And we know the rest of the story. He was blessed. And Saul was converted and became the apostle. So when we never know what the Lord's going to do through us. He just calls us to be obedient to whatever task he asks us to do. But he's asked us all, scattered the way we are too in this world, to be witnesses of the risen Lord and Savior. Now we've got another man in this chapter. And then we see him later too. But We'll just look at this example now. Barnabas is our next example. In chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, we're introduced to him. Paul is there. He's converted. He immediately also starts witnessing, preaching, teaching about Christ, proving that Jesus is the Christ. And after many days, they wanted to kill him, and so the brothers, the disciples there, decided, you got to go. You go back to Jerusalem. So when Saul had come to Jerusalem, verse 26, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. Can you imagine? Here's this guy. What? What do you mean you're one of us now? This is surely a trap. What scheme of this is of yours? And he couldn't not convince them. Can't blame him. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them, Paul was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. So it was great. This man Barnabas, whose name means encourager. Saul was received by the church in Jerusalem because of Barnabas. Every time, Dr. Jeremiah says here, every time we see Barnabas, son of encouragement, in the book of Acts, he is helping somebody. You see him there. You see him there in the previous chapters. He owned some property in Cyprus, and he sold it, and he brought it to the apostles before Ananias and Sapphira. And he's helping people. He goes, you see him now. He continues on, and he goes back to Antioch, to out there, and they hear about the preaching and teaching, and it's Barnabas then that goes and gets, oh, I'm going to go get Saul of Tarsus. He can come help me here and teach in Antioch. And it says that they were there for more than 2 years teaching and preaching. And this is where the believers, the followers of the way, were first called Christians. And then separate me out, Barnabas and Paul. I'll send them. First missionary trip. And then we see him later. They're going to go again, and he and Paul separate for various reasons, whatever those human reasons, but God has a purpose. He still works in Barnabas' life. He's still working in Paul's life, even though they separated. Paul meets Luke somewhere along the line. And Luke is a Gentile, and he's travels with Paul then, gave up his practice of medicine. And then he takes Silas, and he meets Timothy, and all the other people that Paul then disciples. But Barnabas, he takes a young man, his nephew, that went with him and Paul the first time partway, John Mark. So he's always encouraging. He takes John Mark with him, and We know then Mark writes the Gospel of Mark. We know that Mark is called for Paul calling him to come to Rome when he's in prison. So again, this man Barnabas, witnessing, helping, encouraging. Again, another example for us. So then you can continue in these chapters, the rest of the chapters. We have Luke, we have John Mark, we have Timothy, we have Silas, and Paul, and the Lord wasn't done with Peter. He said, okay, you guys have been in Jerusalem long enough. Peter, I want you to go. And he ends up where? At a man's house called Cornelius, a Roman, a Gentile. Oh, yeah, up on the rooftop of Simon the Tanner. Oh, yeah, okay. I'm supposed to eat this unclean animals and food, and Lord, I'm not going to do that. Yes, you are. I have a purpose. Don't call something unclean that I have said it's clean. There's a man that you're going to go and speak to. But what did that man do? He was already believing in God. He was already a follower of God. God answered his prayer. But now he's going to send him the Apostle Peter to hear about Jesus Christ and be baptized. He and his household, he invited his family, his servants, everyone. They filled that house when Peter came and preached the word and baptized them. He was a faithful disciple, Cornelius. The remaining chapters then is filled with many nameless faithful disciples who, through the teaching of Paul and Peter and the other apostles that were scattered throughout the world. Yeah. It says they turned the world upside down. They went preaching and teaching Jesus everywhere they were scattered. And that's what we have. We have these remaining people. So we, all the remaining chapters, and come mainly the missionary travels of Paul, but the different churches that were established. The different elders, you know, remember the elders at Ephesians came and met him at the boat and going to, or at the port before he sailed to go back to Jerusalem. They prayed with him. We don't have names, but they were faithful, preaching and teaching, multiplying, witnessing of what Christ has done. And that's the challenge for us. So we go back, and you see in Acts 28:17-31, let's read the last verses there, then we'll close. The right verses here. Yeah, 28:17-31. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, Paul is now in Rome in prison for 2 years, and he's in his own private house with guards, but he's allowed to preach and teach, and people, Romans and Jews, came in and out. But now he called for the leaders of the Jews. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who then, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go, because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you, to see you and speak with you, because of the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." Then they said to him, "We neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think, for concerning this sect," again, the followers of the way, "we know that it is spoken against everywhere in the empire." So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. Woo! We get tired after an hour. They're there all day, all night, wanting to hear the word of God. Wow. Morning till evening, and some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. Isn't that the case? So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our father, saying, "Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it." And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house, received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. So the last 2 verses of Acts summarize the next 2 years of Paul's life. Paul continued doing what Paul always did, preaching the kingdom of God and Christ crucified. May his faithful perseverance in ministry, despite suffering, serve as a powerful witness, example to us all. Okay, so Luke doesn't end it. Oh, by the way, Paul was killed. No. He ended it there before it happened. Luke concludes his history with Paul evangelizing Jewish leaders in his rented quarters in Rome while under house arrest. Wrapping up his amazing account, Dr. Luke may have realized that his book of Acts would never be completed, quote unquote, in an ultimate sense until the end of the church age. The acts of the Holy Spirit working in and through Christ's servants and ambassadors would continue reaching and evangelizing each new generation until the Lord Jesus calls his church home to heaven. That's us. People have asked, well, can the church die? Individual churches can die. Churches are disbanding all over. Dr. Jeremiah down in El Cajon, he shares sometimes that they've been blessed with, and he said it's sad, but they've been blessed with church campuses in downtown San Diego and other places that are closing their doors. And they've deeded them over to them, and because they have died. They've lost their first love. They're not evangelizing. They're not witnessing. Whatever reasons, financial difficulties, whatever, the cares of life, whatever's happening. But it's happening across our nation. It's happening around the world. But at the same time, Dr. Jeremiah said, okay, we've got members living in those areas. No sense you driving in here. Let's send a pastor down there. And you continue. You reach your neighborhoods. We'll help you. And that's what, you know, we can do. God is here. We're not dead. We're not dying. We have the opportunity to be witnesses for Him. We have opportunity to continue the acts of the apostles, but the acts of the Holy Spirit through us to witness, be a witness in our community, in our time. Let us dedicate ourselves to that task.